I was, there you go. I was not with you last week for the 10:30 Mass, but in many ways, this homily is a continuation from last week. So very quickly, what I had focused on last week was that the time after Easter is the most dangerous time for Christians. And the reason is because for 40 days we put ourselves through some spiritual discipline, whether it is giving up cookies or coffee or chocolate or beer or whatever we give up. And then after Easter, we say, well, Lent is over. It's time for me to get back to normal. And we kind of sit back, put our feet up and relax, because after all, Jesus is risen from the dead. And sometimes we even try to make up for all the cookies and the chocolate that we've, you know, missed out, because what's the harm? I gave up for 40 days, I can enjoy a little bit. So I call the time after Easter to be spiritually the most dangerous time, because it seems like after 40 days we get back to our old ways. And then I had said that that was not the case with the early Christian communities. After the resurrection of Jesus, they did not get a chance to put their feet up and sit down and relax. In fact, it was the opposite. The disciples were filled with fear. They were protecting themselves from those who could have even killed them or destroyed the communities. And I focused on the second letter of St. Peter, where Peter said that the Christian communities should endure the various trials that came their way. So that was last week. This week, I'm continuing from where I left off and focus a little bit on the gospel reading. And a couple of things that I want to emphasize. First, that the gospel passage about the disciples on the road to Emmaus is about disciples. It's not about anybody and everybody, no. These are two disciples on the way. Secondly, they are on the road. They are traveling. They are going somewhere. Thirdly, even though they were downcast, and the scripture says that, they were downcast, their conduct is rather intriguing. They let a stranger join them, talk to them, and sometimes not very kindly, oh, how foolish you are. Yeah, you allow a stranger to do that when you are in conversation. So they allow the stranger to speak to them and then invite the stranger into their home. So keep these three things in mind. We find the same themes in today's second reading from Peter. Peter, who last week reminded his communities to endure their trials and sufferings, now tells them, and hear me carefully, he says, conduct yourselves with reverence during your time of sojourning. In other words, Peter is also talking about the second generation disciples, those who are followers of Christ. So the first reading is about disciples. The second reading is about the second generation disciples. Then Peter reminds them and uses the word sojourning, reminding them that the disciples are on the road. They are travelers. They are going somewhere. And then Peter asks them, to conduct themselves with reverence. So I want to say this morning, Peter is addressing us. And as disciples, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are also on the way. After all, life is a journey, isn't it? We are here on the earth for a few years, and then we are gone. We are sojourners. We are visitors on the earth. But then here's the difference. Some people sojourn. Some people are on the way. Some people live their lives as disciples. And there are others who do not. But isn't it true that when we die, we would like to look back at our lives and be able to say about ourselves that we conducted ourselves with reverence? Don't you think when we die, we want to be able to say, I lived like a disciple? I'm going to draw on three things that will help us to be disciples or to conduct ourselves with reverence. And I'm taking that from today's gospel reading. First, Scripture. Note that the disciples on the road to Emmaus were downcast. Why? Because life happened and it did not go the way they had anticipated. So talking about Jesus' death, they said to the stranger, we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. That was our hope, but life happened and it did not go the way we wanted it to. At the end of the conversation, the stranger does a very strange thing. He directs the conversation towards Scripture. This experience of being exposed to the Scriptures was so intense for them that at the end of the passage, they would say, did not our hearts burn as he opened the Scriptures for us? So the experience stuck with them. What does this mean for us? This means that as each one of us tries to live as disciples on the way, as sojourners, God's word is indispensable. You and I know life happens. And sometimes it goes the way we plan it, and sometimes it goes the way we do not plan it. But in all of it, Peter is telling his congregation, if you want to be disciples on the road, then make sure that the Word of God has an indispensable place in your life. Through disappointments and surprises, despair and hope, anxiety and contentment, pain and comfort, stay close to God's Word. Because it is in the Scriptures that we become aware of Christ walking with us. As the Word of God, it is in the Scriptures that God walks with us. So to ignore the Scriptures would be to shut the door on Christ, who walks with us our journey of life. So it is in this post-Easter season, I guess Peter is saying, I hope, disciples, that the Scripture is part of your everyday life, some kind of systematic reflection on the Scripture. Without it, life for a disciple is meaningless, is what Peter is saying. Point number one. Number two, the Eucharist. Now, when the disciples were on the road, by evening, the stranger is ready to break company. He pretends as if he is going along. The disciples, on the other hand, warn the stranger to sit with them for dinner. And as the gospel indicates to us, that it was at the breaking of bread that everything came together for the disciples. Right? It was at the breaking of the bread. When Jesus took bread and broke it, suddenly, as one of the television ads says these days, they had an aha moment. Right? They walked with a stranger they didn't know, but the moment he took the bread and broke it, it all came together. Not just that their road to their journey to Emmaus, but all of life, everything just came together at the breaking of the bread. At the end of the passage, this is how powerful the breaking of the bread was. At the end of the passage, instead of going to Emmaus, they returned to Jerusalem because they found the meaning and purpose of their life in the breaking of bread. So what does that mean for us? Folks, today I'm not saying that we must be at Mass every Sunday. That's not the message of this passage. I'm not even saying that the breaking of the bread in the Eucharist must be at the center of the journey of our lives. I'm not even saying that. I am saying that the breaking of the bread is the journey. The breaking of the bread is why we are born. And the breaking of the bread is why we can die in peace. The breaking of the bread is where the journey begins, and the breaking of the bread is where the journey ends. The breaking of the bread is our life and our eternity. The breaking of the bread is what it's all about. Our work, our marriages, our birthdays, our relationships, our pets, our leisure. Indeed, our entire life, the whole life, every day, every moment that we live must find its meaning in the breaking of the bread. For a Christian, this is what life is all about. If we do this, then like the disciples, our hearts will burn as well. Thirdly, the stranger. Now, till the breaking of the bread, the disciples thought they were talking to a stranger. However, they do invite the stranger to eat with them. Now, think about this for a moment. If they had not invited the stranger that day, they would have missed God. If the stranger had not come in and they had not broken the bread, they would have missed God. What does that mean for us? For a moment, look around yourself. Do it. It's all right. For a moment, look around you. Don't look at each other. Just look around you. Are there people you don't know? If there's a stranger in our midst, it is possible that that could be the face of God. See, often when we come to church, we like to sit in the same spot, same place, and sometimes families sit there for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and if someone else sat there, goodness gracious. But I'm not saying let's change places. I'm merely saying sometimes when we disregard the stranger, is it possible that we have missed God? And then there are strange people that we don't want to associate with. People across the tracks. The dangerous West Side. The crazy East Side of the city. These strange immigrants who do not speak our language. Let them learn English. And now with Osama bin Laden dead, I don't know what this all this means for the Muslims, but what if God comes to us in an innocent, just good-hearted Muslim? Be careful about rejecting a stranger. Be careful about how you deal with a stranger, because many people have ignored strangers, and in the process, they have ignored God. I'm proposing today, do not leave this church without saying hello to a stranger. It might be the presence of God for you and me. So let me conclude with this. Every Eucharist, and particularly today, we can say that the Eucharist is the replaying of the story of Emmaus, of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Why? We are all sojourners. One reason. Secondly, today Christ has opened the scriptures for us. Christ has opened and spoken God's word to us. And today Christ will break bread with us. And today Christ comes into our lives in the faces of the strangers that we will meet here and in the week to come. I hope that as we leave from here, we are not on the road to Emmaus, but as we leave this church, we will go back to our Jerusalems, because that is where Christ is waiting to empower us. The people of God said,